¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
¡Goodness me! Devastating counter-attacking football by Liverpool!
If you want to win against Manchester City, which is really, really difficult for each team in the world, you cannot play the way they play, because they're definitely the best in the way they play. Makes no sense. So we have to try to push through our way.
What Soccer Show brings you Jurgen Klopp, the Beastie Boys with a reference to Brooklyn, and Liverpool, a goal from the wonderful Mo Salah. Nobody does that, right, Aaron? Got to say, the unique in our own way. All right, time for a roundtable now. A quick word here before we get into it. Cube 57, the home of the Houston Dynamo. Eddie Robinson, Cindy Bourbano, and myself, we enjoyed bringing you the commentary on television this year. Houston Dynamo on Cube 57. Big shout out to Hugh O'Connor. The place was absolutely nuts this past weekend because that's where the Liverpool supporters group in Houston hangs out. 7620 Katy Freeway, Marquee Entertainment Center. You see it on your right-hand side when you're heading out I-10 towards Katy. 18 TVs, big screen, excellent food in there, excellent beverage. It is brand spanking new. It has really got a cool feel in there. Go in there. They got pictures of the old Guinness Brewery on the wall that are worth the visit itself. Also, a big shout out to Kings Court, place to be in Edo. Kings Court, 903 Hutchins, Chelsea supporters groups down there, Houston Red Army down there, Bayou City Blues. That's in the shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium. 903 Hutchins, Kings Court. They've got 13 monitors. These are great places to watch matches from around the world. Great place to convene if you're going to the Club America. Rayados, Monterrey Rayados game on Saturday. By the way, sixth caller right now at 713-780-3776. Sixth caller, 713-780-3776. You get a pair of tickets to Saturday night's game, Club America and Monterrey. That's probably going to sell out with the amount of support those two teams get here in Houston. So Kings Court, that'll be the place to go on Saturday. All right, we welcome in from the Liverpool supporters group, Ian Veery. Ian, thank you very much for being here.
Glenn, thanks a lot for having me. Yes, again, I appreciate it.
Yes, sir. And he's a very happy Ian Veery, by the way, after what Liverpool did to Man City. Rodrigo de Luna has done tremendous stuff in the youth community here throughout his career. Frequent guest on the show. Rodrigo, how are you?
How you doing, Glenn?
All right. I like that. I like that. Victor, that's the sultry, dulcet tones of Rodrigo de Luna. Victor Ariza, who's a contributor always to the show and does a lot of behind-the-scenes work, he is also here as well. Victor, thank you for being here as well, as always. Of course, you are always here, so we thank you for being here.
Always a pleasure.
And we do have a fourth special guest, the special one, Jose Mourinho, via the telephone.
How are you, Glenn? You are champion.
It's fantastic.
You are fantastic.
Soccer Matters is fantastic.
Soccer Matters is fantastic.
See that? Not everybody gets Jose Mourinho. Tickets.
I'm special one. You are fantastic. I'm special one.
All right. So, Jose, we will ask you a few questions here tonight. So let's start it off first, Ian, with you and Liverpool and what this means. Now you're 9 points clear. Dramatic win 3-1 at Anfield over Manchester City. It was the game of the weekend in the Premier League. Just let's get some initial thoughts from you.
Great result. Really a statement win for Liverpool, I think. Put us, I think, clear of the chasing pack. It's dropped Man City into a sort of a dogfight now with Chelsea and Leicester, to be honest, because they dropped to fourth as a result of that. So Liverpool, I think, are buzzing right now. The team, you can see the way they're playing. They are one. Here, Klopp and the team are one.
Rodrigo, how about some thoughts on Liverpool and the win over Manchester City, because I know you're a big Pep Guardiola fan. I know you're also a big Jurgen Klopp fan.
Well, you saw what Jurgen Klopp did. You know, he basically out-strategized Guardiola. And this goes back to the work he's done back when he was with Dortmund. And you see, he's like a chess player. He knows how to prepare for a match, and he knows how to use his teams and their strengths efficiently. He knows how to motivate them. And they play like, you know, he needs them to play. And just like what he did with Dortmund. You know, it's to his credit, he's doing a great job with Liverpool, and he's given their fans hope of winning a premiership, something they haven't done. So it remains to be seen, but you know, you have to give him credit. He's done a fantastic job, and you know, he's fun to watch also. You know, what the things he says, and you know, he's very passionate, you know.
These are the types of people I want to be around. This guy's an inspirational leader. He is a motivator of men. He's a tactician. He is huge from a marketing perspective as well. Victor, how about your thoughts on Jurgen Klopp?
Oh, we mentioned it time and time again, inspirational. I don't think there's anybody like him in soccer right now. Very few managers that are able to just galvanize, you know, fan bases, galvanize teams. He has been the difference at Liverpool. We've seen managers. We've seen the rotating door of managers come through Liverpool. And, you know, it's early, right? We can't say that Liverpool will be the Premier League champions, but it certainly looks that way. And a big part of that is because of the work we've seen Klopp do with Liverpool.
Well, and their patience as well with him, and then getting him in the right pieces with Virgil van Dijk and soaring up the goalkeeping position. Yeah. Ian, now, when you're with your Liverpool fans and you're at Hugh O'Connor's pub, right? And you guys go in there and you see Klopp's image up on these monitors. Yeah. You know, what are you guys all thinking? Because you guys are absolutely, this is a love fest between guys, I think.
I think it is. He's just as an inspiration. He is. I mean, strategy-wise, this weekend, there are two people or two players that Man City have to have play well, Kevin De Bruyne and Raheem Sterling. And they just... I mean, Sterling got behind us twice. He had Trent Alexander-Arnold, Mane dropping in. Even Lovren was coming across to stop Sterling getting in behind. And in the first half, I don't think De Bruyne maybe touched the ball a couple of times. They pretty much man-marked him. Henderson followed him around. And then when Hendo went off and James Milner came on, his job was just to follow De Bruyne around. And it worked to a T. You know, it was a bit disappointing to lose the goal. I mean, Liverpool have the third best defense in the Prem right now, behind Leicester and Sheffield United.
How about the Blades? I absolutely love the Blades doing well in the Premier League. But back to Liverpool.
Yep. We love Jurgen. We don't want Jurgen to go. I'm just wondering if it is a bit early, but I'm hoping that he can create a Shankly-like dynasty at Liverpool.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think that's what people are potentially thinking here. Rodrigo?
Best thing about Klopp is he's a heavy metal fan.
He is. You want to know something? I have people that are not even, and I want you to think about this, they're not even soccer fans. They're friends. Or my buddy's wife. This is an example. My friend Jeff Doise, you've met him, and his wife, Jody. She absolutely... she sees Liverpool on TV and sees the magnetism of this guy. And even not being... yeah, she is a soccer fan, I guess. But due to that magnetism and that leadership and that inspiration and a guy looking like he's having fun managing this team in this pressure-filled cauldron of this thing called the Premier League, where there's so much money at stake, there's people that have all these other interests. You know, she looks at him and she goes, this guy's just having a great time. Victor, and to all of you on the panel, I would just say it's got to be the end of these beaten down, boring type managers now, especially if you're looking for hires. You need inspiration. I don't know how many of those with their old ways can last anymore.
Well, you need that in the Premier League. I think with him and Guardiola, Guardiola's a bit more reserved. I mean, I still remember last season, still iconic, when we scored the goal in the 94th minute against Everton. Divock Origi, and like Klopp goes running on the field and he's jumping up and down with Alisson and the game's still going on, and then he just goes, oh, and like, you know, that's him. He's like running up and down the sidelines,
pumping,
you know, smashing the air, jumping up and down, pumping his fist. He just gets the Anfield crowd going.
Yeah, I just think that type of manager's exciting. And I think Rodrigo, Pep Guardiola's fiery though in his own way and is an inspirational leader, no question.
Well, you look at these coaches, right, and with all due respect to the England fans, right, all these coaches, you know, they, being foreigners, they bring something different that's new to the English game, really, because, you know, I was never a fan of the English game when I was younger because I saw them all as just, bah, no passion, nothing, right? It was just like, you know, they when they score a goal, the announcers were like, they're having tea, you know? But, you know, these coaches are bringing, they're bringing inspiration. Klopp is bringing inspiration to a fantastic fan base, which is Liverpool's fan base. So he fits perfectly because he brings that passion to that crowd. You know, there are some fans in England, Liverpool, one of them, you know, I hate to say it, it's, you know, they're one of the best fan bases in Europe, in England, West
in the
Ham.
World.
The West Ham. They have fanatical fan bases. And, you know, these managers like Guardiola, like Klopp, you know,
part of Chelsea, I would say.
You know, they would, but they come and they complement those fan bases with their passion and the way they carry themselves and the way they celebrate. You know, and it's something that people are catching on to see.
I like his quote at the end of the game. What happened today? We showed why we are champion. I'm so proud of my team more than ever. We can be proud of how we played against the strongest team in Europe.
Yeah, no question about it. Let's pull this soundbite of Jurgen Klopp, Aaron, talking about, I don't think I've ever seen a goal number two, which was Mo Salah's goal.
I don't think I ever saw a goal like this. Probably not. Right fullback with a 60-yard pass to the left fullback, two more touches, and a cross over 40 yards, 50, and a header. That's pretty special.
So talking about pretty special, just talk about how Liverpool was a little bit different in this game, Ian, in order to get this result against Manchester City, because there were some different things. Because Klopp came out and said, look, we can't play exactly like Manchester City. We will not win.
Yeah.
So this is the beauty of him as a tactician.
Yeah, well, where are Man City really strong in the midfield? And we kind of bypassed them a couple of times. We tried to play much more direct, and I think that shows that with it. But just the vision of Trent Alexander-Arnold, I mean, he's almost pinging Gerrard-esque balls already, and he's so young. But what's great is Alexander-Arnold and Robertson are combining more and more, as they did against in the Champions League a couple of weeks ago. Trent Alexander whacked one in, and Robertson was on the end of it. So they're just playing high. They played more direct and shut down, like I said before, De Bruyne and Sterling for most of the game.
Do you guys, and I'll start with you, Victor, do you think that's the best two outside back pairing in the world?
I think so. I mean, it's hard to pick one out. And I mean, a lot of it is just the way the entire team works, right? I mean, dude, you just won the Champions League. We set one of the better defenses in the Premier League. I mean, until somebody does it better, I mean.
But look, you've got the versatility of those three guys up front, Rodrigo, but you've also got two outside backs that are capable of getting into the attack. Combined, the amount of assists these two guys had was absolutely remarkable. So guys that are out wide can go inside and create space for these guys to just fly forward. It's exciting football.
I think that's the way Klopp has them playing. I mean, if you look again, the way they feed off each other, that's the way Klopp's system is. And you saw what he did at Dortmund. You know, that's what he's doing here. He's making these players gel together. But he's providing them a system and an opportunity to do it.
It's fluid. It's fluid as well. The movement of the team is fluid. They don't really have set positions. Like I said, Mane dropping in to defend. Henderson popping up on the right flank to whack a ball across for Mane, who actually dived. I hope Guardiola saw that, for the header to score the third goal.
Incredible stuff. All right. I'm going to take you guys to something that's going to be a little bit fun here. So Zlatan Ibrahimovic is not coming back to the LA Galaxy. I know Rodrigo likes him. So Zlatan put out a tweet. It's a giant image of him holding his arms out like wings with LA in front of him, his number 9. And he says, I came, I saw, I conquered. Thank you, LA Galaxy, for making me feel alive again. To the Galaxy fans, you wanted Zlatan. I gave you Zlatan. You are welcome. The story continues. Now go back to watch baseball. It's pretty classic.
Quality.
You got to admit, it's good. Victor, start on Zlatan. Rodrigo, you're number 2.
That's what he's brought to Major League Soccer, that kind of charisma, attitude, I mean, personality. It's something that the league has needed. And I've said it, I think, ever since Beckham, nobody has been able to capture the general sports fan in the United States, draw them to the league as much as Zlatan has. I mean, we've had great players in the league, right? Rooney, David Villa, Thierry Henry, but none of them have been able to be able to pull those eyeballs like Zlatan has, and especially with the rivalry that they've had with LAFC, it's only I think accelerated the amount of eyeballs on the league.
Rodrigo, I'm going to let you go next on this one because you have a very differing viewpoint.
Well, and again, Zlatan Ibrahimovic as a player, he's great. He's scored some beautiful goals over the years. I mean, at Ajax, at PSG, at AC Milan, at Barcelona, at Inter. I mean, he's a great player. There's no doubt about that. That's not taken away from his ability. He's one of the, you know, behind Messi and Ronaldo, he is up there. My thing with Ibrahimovic is, you know, I have a problem with those kind of attitudes where he thinks he's just the best. And the thing about it is he still cries about Guardiola and attacks Guardiola because he wanted to be above Messi and he couldn't, right? And now he comes to MLS, you know, and he does a great job. I mean, he brought a lot to MLS. He brought a lot of fun and he sold a lot of shirts and he scored some fantastic goals. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But, you know, and he says now that he's leaving, no one's going to remember MLS. But you know what? Before there was Zlatan, we had Carlos Valderrama. Yeah. We had, Cienfuegos. You know, Echeverri, Cienfuegos. We've had Carlos Hermosillo. We had, you know, we've had a
But this
bunch
is
of
a different
players.
MLS now.
It's a different MLS. But you know what? These guys, you know, scored some great goals, and they
we
the ones that started.
Dwayne Rosario in Houston.
Dwayne
Brian
Rosario
Ching.
In Houston. We can stay here and name for hours these great players and what they've brought. But you know, they were very respectful in MLS, and they, you know, they didn't. These kind of things that Zlatan says is like, now you can go back to watching baseball. You know, well, you know, go back and try and get into the Sweden national team. See what happens.
So here's what I'm going to say. First of all, he had 52 goals in 56 games. That's remarkable for a guy his age. Okay, that's number one. He's 38 years of age, and some of the goals he scored this year, people had never seen these types of goals scored. Okay,
absolutely.
He scored one spinning almost like he was doing karate and jiu-jitsu, which he does do. That was just something I've never seen before. But what I will say is, look, that's part of the machine that is Zlatan Ibrahimovic. You get all this with him. The league wanted that. LA wanted that because they're trying to keep up with the pressure of LAFC right down the road. And Zlatan, I mean, look, this thing wasn't put together. You think he sat around a computer today putting this thing up and together? No, he's got a marketing firm. I do believe these are his ideas, though, because we've
read
seen
his autobiography.
Him.
Just read his autobiography.
I have read his autobiography.
Yeah, and you'll agree with me. That's him.
And I have read the part where he didn't agree with Guardiola and he wanted to take over the reign of Messi at Barcelona, which is insane in itself. But we do need this type of excitement in this league.
Awesome. Ian.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you look at the Galaxy, though, they are able to attract exciting players to keep people interested in the MLS. Started with Beckham, you know, and I mean, Gerrard wasn't really, to be honest, even though it was a massive Stevie G, didn't do great for the Galaxy. But then Zlatan comes in, and I think he's been almost probably bigger than the MLS a little bit this year with the way he's.
Well, he thinks so. I don't think there's any question about that.
I mean, they didn't win it though. They weren't in the
He wasn't on a very good team, though. Yeah, look, he was on a bad team. I mean, defensively, their back four was a nightmare. Yeah. And look, when they finally signed Christian Pavon, that was a big boost for Zlatan Ibrahimovic from Boca.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Victor, anything else on Zlatan? I know you love him.
No, look, he had a big impact on the league. He made other players better, opposing players, players with him. You got a kid today, right, with Mexico, Efraín Álvarez, who got to, you know, be one of his teammates, and Pavon, I think, another one. You know, just been able to benefit off of his experience. Here in Houston, like I said, opposing players, every time the Dynamo faced them, Memo Rodriguez, Kyoto, Elise, they all brought their A game. And that's something that...
That's a great point, because that's what happened. Look, when I'm playing in these leagues, the ASL and USL, and I'm playing against an older man in Neni Kubias, who's 37 years old and is one of the most historic players in the history of the World Cup. Do you think a 21 or a 22-year-old kid cares? Or a 23? They don't. If they make a tackle on the guy, it's something that just increases your confidence. The fact that you play a 1-2 around the guy or you deny him a turn on a tackle. with some big name player. It's a benefit to all those who he trains with every day. So he is definitely out there. I understand Rodrigo's point of view on it, no question. But 52 goals and 56 games is pretty remarkable.
No, what he's done is amazing. And it's good that he came to the league because he brought a lot of wonderful things to the league. You know, but it's just that attitude of his that just,
yep,
it is what it is.
Depeche Mode going to take you to the break here. And by the way, one last thing on him.
He was not champion.
He was not champion. Jose, thank you, Jose.
He was not fantastic.
Thank you,
Jose.
He
was not fantastic.
I told you Jose Mourinho was on the show. One other thing on Zlatan before we go to break here is that, you know, look what LAFC has done putting the pressure on the LA Galaxy. This type of pressure is so needed in this game here in this country. The media, additional pressure. You know, do you think Austin FC is going to bring pressure to the Houston Dynamo and FC Dallas? We'll ask you that when we come back. We're taking a quick break here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. A big thank you to Kings Court, 903 Hutchins, 13 Monitor, Shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium, and John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. They are the presenting sponsor of this show. We'll take a break. More to come. All right. Welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Post the question going to break here. We've got Ian Veery of the Liverpool Supporters Group, Rodrigo De Luna, who we've known all, oh, just for so many years here, doing so much in the soccer community in Houston, Texas. He was with Fiesta. We know him from a marketing standpoint. Victor Ariza, also a Soccer Matters correspondent and a big part of our show as always. All right, so the question was Austin FC. I'm going to start with you, Victor. Will they bring additional pressure to the Houston Dynamo and FC Dallas? They just announced today they're building a $46 million practice facility.
Yeah, they should. Fans are certainly taking notice. I think the big question is, are the ownership groups of Houston and Dallas wanting to compete with Austin FC? FC Dallas looks like they're invested in the youth game. Houston, we've seen some changes in the front office, but it's all to be seen. And Austin are in the class of their own.
Rodrigo?
This is what we're hoping for. And from what I've heard from yourself and other sources, that the owners at Austin are looking to do things right. So we're hoping that it'd be a great thing. And they've got a good advantage because they've seen how things have been done before, and hopefully they won't make those mistakes.
Ian?
Yeah, I think Austin, I think it's good to have another franchise in Dallas. In Texas, to be honest, with Dallas and Houston. I think nice facility, doing the right things, as Rodrigo said. It'll be interesting. And the way the MLS tend to set up the new franchises, I think they're going to be pretty decent off the bat, so we'll see.
Texas and California, three MLS teams together. Wouldn't you say it would be good for the organizations to work together to just try to really build these rivalries?
Without a doubt. It would benefit the clubs, the league, and even the fans. I think so.
Rodrigo? I mean, Victor?
Yeah. I mean, I think the rivalries are there naturally, right? Because the fans, you know, they dislike the other teams. Certainly, there's a bit more friendship between the Austin fans and the Houston fans than there will be with Dallas, right? But,
yep.
Yeah, I hope, you know, the hope is that it turns into what LAFC has done for the LA Galaxy, right? That it inspires the other teams to kind of pull their own weight, but we'll see.
Ian?
Yeah, I like it. I think the thing is, it's quite a bit closer as well, I think. So I think you could get local rivalries because you could get fans traveling, so you're going to get more of an atmosphere at the games, I think. You know, I think that's definitely an advantage of having a team in Austin for Houston, for sure. And yeah, actually,
2.5 hours
as well,
as opposed to four and a half, right? So yeah, it's so an easier run up there, and it's a very appealing city. Yeah. Dynamo fans will want to go up there,
absolutely,
I would think,
yeah,
and partake a little bit. I don't think any question. Christian Pulisic, let's talk about him, because everybody was hitting the panic button on him. The kid is come through. He's not going to play with the U.S. against Canada in the upcoming match. You know, let me start with you, Ian, because, you know, obviously you're a big Liverpool fan. You've seen Pulisic. What do you think it does for the American player from the standpoint of influence?
I think it's huge. Klopp's a huge fan of his. I thought for a long time he was going to come to Liverpool, and then he was like, oh, no, I don't think so, and he came to Chelsea. It's great to see him in the Premier League. I think with the other young guns that Chelsea have got right now, Lampard's really sort of stirring the witch's brew a little bit together at the moment, and it's really working right now. They're exciting to watch. They're having fun, and you can see, because Lampard said when he took over, he said, I want to play like Liverpool play. And you can kind of see a little bit of that, the way that he's got the youngsters in. They're all having fun. They're playing together and for each other, and I think that's huge.
Rodrigo, what about a little bit on Christian Pulisic? Because I know you're a big Chelsea fan, and of course they had the ban, so they had to go with a lot of youth.
Well, like I said, the best thing that happened to Chelsea was the ban. You know, and people were already panicking and saying he's done. You know, it's ridiculous because you have to give the guy a time to adjust. He's coming to a new league with a young manager, with other young players. So, I mean, it's not that easy. Got to give him time.
No, he's doing well. Victor, last quick hit here before we got to head to break.
Yeah, what a difference a month makes, right? Now, all of a sudden, Pulisic is part of the great run of youth at Chelsea. I think it's 5 goals already. And but let's remember, if it wasn't for a Croatian passport, we wouldn't see the Pulisic of today.
16 years old, he got to go over there because of that passport. 2 additional valuable years getting groomed in Germany at Dortmund, which right Absolutely. Now is the best bet for the American player. We're going to take a break here. Aaron's got some talking heads going to break here. When we come back, it's a visit with North Texas Soccer Club's Eric Quill, former Houston area product. We're going to talk some player development. Ian Veery, Liverpool Supporters Group. Rodrigo De Luna, just a legend in the Houston soccer community. Victor Ariza, Soccer Matters. Gentlemen, I thank you very much for coming in tonight.
Pleasure.
Thanks, Glenn.
Thank you.
Jose?
We're champions. You're champion, Glenn.
G'day, mate. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters. We're going to finish it up in big style here tonight. And again, a big thank you to all our sponsors. John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. Advantage BMW Midtown, my good friend Justin and Philip down there. Also to Jay down at King's Court. Our good friend Peter over at Hugh O'Connor's. And of course, Cube 57. That's where you catch the Dynamo games all year long. Really prideful to bring you those calls of those games along with Eddie Robinson and Cindy Bourbano. Last interview of the night here tonight, Eric Quill, former local player here, went on to play in Major League Soccer. He is now the coach of North Texas SC. That is in the USL Division I. That's a notch below the USL Championship. It is a big piece in the development scheme of FC Dallas. Here's my interview earlier today with Eric Quill of North Texas SC. Eric, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Glenn. Appreciate it.
Yeah, so first thing is you're doing a very interesting thing right now. You're working down at the under 17 Nike friendlies. You're on the staff of Junior Gonzalez. The U.S. is playing friendlies with Netherlands and Turkey. Just give us a little overview of the event and kind of your role in it.
Yeah, so I'm here assistant junior with our U17s. It's not the U17s, it's just playing the World Cup. It's actually a U16 event here down in Florida, which has the U16 Netherlands, U16 Turkish national team, and then our U16 national team. And so our U17s are made up of O2s who were involved in the pool with the team that just went to the World Cup. So sort of a second look at these players that got, you know, maybe passed up in the process of picking that team but have a lot of projection to them. So it's a great opportunity for these boys.
Talking to Eric Quill, North Texas FC. By the way, they were the USL League One title winners. We're going to get to that in a minute. Is there concern around U.S. soccer now? Because there's been a lot of heavy criticism on that under-17 performance, and not only from the soccer side of it, but even from the attitudinal side of it.
Yeah. I mean, obviously when you see the results the way they went, people are going to jump to conclusions and be disappointed in what the outlook looks like. I think there's a lot of variables that were in play during this cycle for these boys. I think that they had a lot of different coaches throughout a two-year cycle, which is difficult, even though it's under the same philosophy of U.S. soccer. You know, coaches, as we know, are, you know, we have different styles of what we demand, how we demand it. And so I just think that it was just a moment of a lot of transition for them. And, you know, the other piece is U.S. residency for U17s went away this past cycle. So you can make a case that maybe the residency program was a good fit in a lot of ways for preparation for the U17 World Cups, because we sort of put the ball back in the club's field, if you will, by sort of communicating, seeing where players are, making sure they're getting minutes with their teams, and instead of having them in front of you, you know, on a day-to-day basis in front of you where you can sort of dictate their periodization, the minutes played for them throughout the week, you know, there's a lot of pieces of that puzzle when you send this group back to their clubs and hopes that they're going to be fit and they're played in when the World Cup rolls around. So I don't know what the fitness levels were for some of these players, but look, it's, you know, there's a lot of talent. There's no doubt about that. It was a disappointing, obviously, run of results, but I think there's a lot of variables that point in that direction. I just think I don't look at it as a setback. I just think it's something to take into consideration, you know, first cycle out of not have the residency. So it's just one of these things you measure now and try to get it better for the next time around.
Yeah. Eric Quill joining us. North Texas FC is in working with Junior Gonzalez with a group of young players here that are going to take on Turkey. It's an under-16 event, and the Netherlands in Florida, and probably some of what you just said was accelerated by the fact that the U.S. Full national team has had its own struggles as of late. All right, so if we do talk about that, and I love talking with you, Eric, because you are involved in player development, and you take this very, very serious. I know how hard you've worked at your coaching career as well and how well you've done at it. Are we concerned that maybe the academy is a bit homogenized and is a little bit overly organized and overly controlling to a degree?
No, I mean, I think that we haven't given enough time to really formulate the correct decision here. I mean, I think we got to give guys, and again, results obviously matter, and I'm just like anybody else, you know, when an odd result happens, you start to question. But I think that if you put it in a larger perspective, you got to give some time to somebody to change. I mean, it's a different philosophy. We're going in a different direction. So it doesn't happen overnight. And Greg's a great coach. He's had a lot of success and obviously Ernie as well. And so I just think that I'm taking the stand. I want to provide more time to these guys before I start to, you know, think negatively and think that it's all, you know, going downhill. So there's a lot of talent in our country. I think that, you know, it allows for some really good discussion on who we are, where we want to go and what we want to be. So, you know, but I've got confidence in these guys that they're going to turn around and it's going to start to click at some point when guys are getting more and more used to Greg and the philosophy that he wants to see, you know, on the field.
Talking to Eric Quill, North Texas FC. Let's talk about that. You're the reigning League One title winners now. It was the first year for USL League One. It was your first year running it. Pretty remarkable year. Tell me a little bit about it and sort of the highs and lows, what you learned and how exciting it was.
It was a really fun year, Glenn. I mean, it was. I learned a lot. It was a great year, obviously from a result standpoint. But the bigger picture is the gap that was bridged in FC Dallas, where you know it offered a lot of these talent projections who are teenagers a platform to play in their backyard under their philosophy. Because as you know, a lot of some clubs that aren't, you know, don't have a second team, maybe go outside to a you know, affiliate in USL, who it's great, they're getting games, but you don't know what the philosophy is, the style of play, what's really, how much they're going to play. So this is a way to really bridge the gap in a healthy way for our young players. And I saw from start to finish how much they grew, which was for me the best part of it, was just seeing the improvement and the growth in these young 16, 17, 18-year-old players that you see. Of course, you saw the talent and the projection in, but as you got to see the season go longer and longer, it really started to stand out, some of these guys and where they're going. And so that's the best gratification as a coach you can get, is just to see the vast improvement. And I think I credit it to FC Dallas providing this second team platform.
By the way, Eric Quill became the coach of the year in the league as well. So that's a big congratulations as well. Now, some people are going to say, okay, if it's USL League One, why wasn't it the top USL league, and is there a big gap in difference, and how much of a challenge then does that make the jump from USL League One as opposed to the top USL league to FC Dallas and the full team?
You know, I don't quite know how to gauge the difference between the talent or level of USL League One and USL Championship. I've watched a lot of the championship flight games. I don't see a big, huge gap. I think maybe from a physical standpoint, you've got maybe more athleticism in some of those clubs in USL Championship flight. But there's some teams in USL League One that play some really good soccer and have some really good pros that have been around for a while. So former MLS guys that are in the league. And so I think it provides a really high level of play for us. So it's arguable to say which how much of the gap is there. But I'll put it in perspective, you know, Brandon Cervenia, you know, wasn't really getting minutes for FC Dallas early on in the year, so he came down and played for North Texas FC, was getting 90 minutes consistently, then goes and plays in U20 World Cup as a starter and comes back and is, you know, started for FC Dallas pretty much the rest of the season. So I think had North Texas FC in the level of USL League One not been as strong as it is, Brandon Cervenia wouldn't have made that jump from a USL League One consistent player to starting in a World Cup, U20 World Cup, and doing so well. So I give a lot of credit to you know, what USL is doing in both leagues. I think it's a healthy platform. Obviously, it's new. This is a new league. I think it's going to get better and better like anything does with great people surrounded by it. And I just love to see where it's going. There's four more teams coming in next year, which provides, you know, another great platform for more variety. And you know, so I just, I'm a big fan of it. I love where it's going. I love what it's doing for our young players.
Talking to Eric Quill, that's a good example you give with Brandon as well. And you could probably make the argument, too, that if it is less physical than the USL Championship, that could possibly be a better thing for kids at the age that, that you have throughout your team. And the average age is teenagers, right?
Yeah. I mean, our oldest average age throughout, I think, was like 19 during a game. I mean, we were sometimes in the 18, 17. So, but that's where most of their growth came from, was trying to learn how to use their bodies, even though they were less than, you know, maybe 40, 50 pounds less than the guy they're playing against, and learning how to initiate contact with larger players and battle. And so the league provided plenty from the physicality, from a tactical standpoint, from an athleticism standpoint, that our guys got the most out of it. And we're going to see this by the jumps some of these guys make down the road here soon to either the championship level flight or to the MLS, to FC Dallas. So, I've got no complaints. I think it's a high level of play, and it's only going to get better.
Eric Quill joining us, head coach of North Texas FC, reigning USL League One title winners. He was a coach of the year in the league as well. How close do you work with Lucha Gonzalez? I know you have a great relationship with him.
Very close. I mean, I'm work together every day. There's collaboration every single day on what we want to do, how we want to integrate players from second team into his first team. And there's been days where we've combined both groups. There's always eyes on me. He's always over observing what we're doing. Players that we've talked about that we think need to get a shot. We discuss it every day after training. Any second team players that train with him, there's always a meeting afterwards that discuss how they did, what areas of weaknesses there were. So there's a lot of discussions that happen on a day to day basis about each of these players that wouldn't happen if you just didn't have the setting that we have. So. It's really healthy. I have an enormous amount of respect for Lucci and what he's doing and the philosophy he's bringing to the club. I believe in it wholeheartedly, and I just think I love where we're going. Great people in the organization all believe in it as well, and it really truly feels like a family atmosphere that is pulling in the right direction, and these kids are going to reap the massive benefits from it.
Now, there's some clubs in the league that have their so-called reserve team or their USL team way outside of market. Could you imagine yourself not being at the same training facility and doing this and the additional challenges that might bring?
No, I mean, it's got to be very, very tough. I have a lot of colleagues that are in those situations, and I know the amount of work that goes into it and how hard it is to be disjointed. In any organization, it's harder to be disjointed. So I think that there's a lot of health to being under the same roof and having such a close proximity to ideas and eyesight on players on a day-to-day and meetings about players and forming individual development plans for players and really having just constant communication about them. But it's in front of you. You know, it's not just phone calls and video clips. It's on it. You know, I have eyes on these guys every day in training from our academy all the way up second team, first team. So it's just, it'd be hard for me to imagine not having it this way.
Yeah, and there's nothing like is there anything better than the eye?
I don't think so. I mean, we all have our opinions, but I see the value in the day-to-day eyesight, and so I believe that we have a really healthy thing going, and we're going to get better at it, and I think we will get better at it. But it's definitely the base the base is healthy, and the ideas what we're starting with is healthy.
Eric Quill joining us, North Texas FC, first year in the first year USL League One. They win the title. They move players forward to the first team. This is quickly becoming the ID of FC Dallas. And then how much do you work with the academy director?
So just like, the relationship between Lucci and I, I'm always working with our 19s and 17s, 15s, our 15s coach is my assistant. So, we have constant, we're pulling U17 and U19 players into our training while second team players are being pulled up to the first level of training. So it's daily. Every day after training, we're discussing players for the next day's training session, who we want in those sessions. I get feedback from them, who they think, because they obviously spend so much time with it, who they think deserves the opportunity. And I have a full trust in our academy coaches that when they say that this player needs a shot, I don't question anything. Let's give them a shot. So it's all about giving opportunities to these players. And it becomes very competitive. When you see your peer be called up to the next level of play, and it's just human nature to have that sort of internal competition barometer go off inside your body. You say, I want that. I want to achieve that. And I just think it becomes not a dangerous thing. It becomes such a motivating thing for players to see their peers be brought up. And I think when you're motivated, that's one of the best emotions in playing this competitive game that we play, is when you're motivated, you tend to be very effective in games. And so I think that's kind of what we bring by this process that we have in place, is these kids getting opportunities all the time is igniting something in the kid that doesn't have the opportunity yet, and there's a real health behind that.
Talking to Eric Quill, and obviously the way you guys have it set up, there's all this organic benefit that you get with Lucci Gonzalez coming down to look at your players, you coming down to look at all the academy teams. When that's all happening, you get a lot of added benefit there just because of the way you set it up and how much organic value is there, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's everybody's invested in it together. I mean, this is not anybody working in a silo. This is everybody collaborating about, we all, coaches see players differently. There's a lot of different opinions of who's a projection, who's not. So we value the tough discussions about players, and there's such huge value in that and health in that. So we don't miss anybody, and we give opportunity to everybody who thinks may have that star power, that ability to jump to the next level. And so we don't want to miss anybody. And so this is what it's all about. There's early, late developers. I mean, there's we got young kids that haven't grown in their bodies yet, but show through whether it's their tactical sense or technical sense, their physical, they show signs that they may be up to the level to jump. And so we want to cultivate that. We want to, put it on our dry erase boards and sit there and make a plan for it, execute that plan for these players and see what comes of it. But it's fun. It's a fun project, and everybody takes a part in it. And that's credit to Lucci and Chris Hayden and how they started this culture back when Oscar was here. This is not one or two guys, doing it. This is a collaborative effort that they want everybody's opinion in if you wear an FC Dallas crest. And that's a lot of fun for the organization and coaches that work within the organization to be a part of. Everybody wants to be heard and wants to be valued, and that's what we do most.
Eric, as always, thank you so much for your time. Congratulations, and the pride of Houston coming through here with Eric Quill doing so well with North Texas FC. Thank you, as always, Eric, and good luck down there at the under-17 Nike friendlies.
Thanks, man, always. Appreciate it, buddy.
That'll do it tonight for Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Again, as always, a big thank you to Andrew Carlson. He is the producer extraordinaire. Aaron Raybould stepping in for him tonight. And, of course, Victor Ariza. Podcast of this show, podcastarena.com on iTunes. I want you to get over to Facebook, Soccer Matters. A lot of great conversation going on over there. We want your opinion. That's why this show was developed in 2002, to get people's opinion, give people platforms. And a little bit of entertainment as well with your host. So that'll do it for tonight. Thank you again for tuning in. Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Glenn Davis out.